and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Today I am joined by the birthday boy himself.
It's me!
It's Mr. See, this is like the second time we've done this. And the second time that I haven't been able to say it is Mr. Conrad EJ Gonsalves.
Hooray! It's not my birthday when you hear this, though. But it is today.
But it is your birthday today.
Yes.
As we record, it is indeed your birthday.
My 22th birthday.
22th.
Yep.
You don't look a day over 11 to 11th.
That's because I use male...
grooming products?
Yes. On my face. And body.
Which is quite amazing considering you've got no hair.
Yeah, and it also takes... it means I have to get up earlier because obviously I have to cover my whole body and stuff. And
there's a lot of wrinkles in that body to work the cream into.
And I have to spend extra time on particular parts of my body as well. But let's not go there.
Because you do look like an orangutan naked.
It's probably down to my purple bottom and my long arms.
Yes, but you don't have the cheek pads of a dominant male.
Not unless I've got cotton wool in... Oh, the cheek pants on my bottom, you mean? Not in my face. Depends if I've got socks down my pants.
Oh, hey! Shall we carry on?
Let's carry on. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today, we are going to discuss... This is another question that listeners sent in, or topic, because we have to be careful.
Not that nice Richard Patton chap.
What, Mrs. Paget?
Mrs. Paget, yeah.
No, Mrs. Paget hasn't sent in any more questions.
I'm sure she's from France, you know.
Yeah, I think she got cross at us. We had a letter listener from Mrs. Paget who said that we were spelling her name wrong and that it wasn't a question that we'd asked her to answer. It was a thought that she thought we were a great, good podcast, but it turned out we weren't because we spelt her name wrong and we said it was a question.
Yes, and mentioned her and everything. We're still waiting. We're working with our lawyers about it at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah, there's been an exchange of emails and stuff. But I would like to apologise to Mrs. Paget for any offence that we've called. And as recompense for that, we have given her an extra year free subscription to Fool's Daily.
And I gave her a signed photograph of myself. And a secret, secret voucher as well.
A secret, secret voucher? Yeah.
Neither so, so secret that he couldn't find the or she couldn't find the attachments to attach the email.
Was it a Victoria's Secret voucher?
It was. How much time have we wasted now?
Well, that's all right. We've got plenty of time left to waste. So we do have a question or a topic.
Not the question, though.
No, because the answer to that is 42.
This is true.
And someone has asked us to have a discussion on clocks in competitive gaming. Now, I always find a clock useful because it tells you how long you've got left in the round.
I always find a clock useful as well because it tells you how long you've got to turn three in Malifaux.
Or in any game that you play, to be honest.
No. Well, potentially, yes, I suppose.
But I'm not actually convinced that the question is about clocks, as in for telling the time. I think it's actually about the use of chess clocks.
Oh, or a timepiece, because there's loads of apps out there that you can get to chess clock app.
But they are just emulating a chess clock, aren't they?
Yes.
So by saying chess clocks, I think most listeners will know what we mean. And I don't think there's any need to be so facetious and, frankly, picky. I realise that it's your old age. But...
It's my birthday, so I can do what I want. I can even square. Square?
Square?
I can't square because I can't even say the word properly.
No swearing.
Okay. Bumba. Anyway.
I told you, no swearing. Right, so chess clocks in competitive gaming. We have wasted quite a lot of time getting to this point now.
Well, clearly we use them in Hordes and War Machine.
Yes.
It is now the accepted norm. I don't think I've been to an event at all since they first were introduced, pretty much, where there hasn't been a chess clock in play.
Right, so let's a chess clock, player A gets a certain allotted amount of time, player A gets a certain allotted amount of time, and when your turn finishes, you press the button and player B's time starts, correct?
Essentially, yeah. But in specifically in Hordes and War Machine, there are two time formats. There is a timed turn format where each player gets a number of minutes for their turn, and the opposing player gets the same amount of time. There is usually one extension, time period extension, where you, at the end of your turn, you've got 30 seconds or an amount of time to say, I'm going to use my extension. You reset the clocks to that time extension and you have some additional time for that turn. The other format is what is known as death clock, which is the one that you alluded to, where essentially each player has the same amount of time and on their clocks, and the time counts down during your turn. So those are the two time formats at the moment. Predominantly in the Hordes War Machine scene, we play death clock. That has become the norm. Actually going and flitting between the two formats is very, very challenging. Standard 50 points games in Hordes and War Machine, I think, I can't remember what the time turns limit is. It might be 10 with a 2 minute or 5 minute extension, but it changes depending on the point, the games that you're playing, essentially.
Okay. So how does that work for turns? I mean, this is that my lack of knowledge of Hordes and War Machine is, how much during your turn, how much does the other player have to do, or could theoretically they walk away from the table?
Well, walking away from the table is probably not a good thing, because there is a lot about, you know, the intent of the move, the intent of the position, the intent of what you're trying to do. So having your opponent there to declare that intent is obviously a good thing. There are interactions from your opponent in doing things, performing certain dice rolls or potentially interrupting a move to do something themselves. So what you are meant to do is you are meant to stop your clock and start your opponent's clock during that time period. So, for instance, there is a characteristic called tough, where essentially you get to make a tough roll to prevent the wound or damage coming through. And so you, in your turn, would be playing to attack and damage the opponent's model, and the clock should get switched when your opponent makes a tough roll check. Invariably, the tough roll check may be made by your opponent during your own time. You know, he may have just rolled the dice and your opponent rolls his tough roll check to save on his time and his clock being switched over. So you will get that.
How does that work with time turns?
Theoretically, it should be the same thing as well.
But he won't have a clock because it's not his turn.
I suppose so, yeah. I've never thought of that, because essentially you are measuring the time turn, and the clock is set to 10 minutes.
20 minutes.
It's 10 20 minutes. It's so. 10 minutes for 50-point games.
Okay, so you have 10 minutes to do your turn.
Yep.
But if your opponent has to make some dice rolls and things, I mean, there's no stopping the clock there, is there?
I think you might stop your turn then, from memory. It's such a long time since I played time turns, because, as I said, going from death clock, where you can take as much time of your own time to have your turn, to time turns is a big, big change, because you've got to do everything in 10 minutes with that 1 5-minute extension in a 50-point game. So I believe the clock may get stopped at that time.
Right, okay. But in death clock, you would stop the clock and your opponent's clock would therefore start.
Essentially it flicks over anyway. As soon as you hit that button, it flicks over to the other person's clock anyway. You can stop, mutually agreed, stop the clock for rules queries.
Okay.
Well,
what happens when the clock hits zero?
When the clock hits zero, if it's your turn, you, well, death clock, death clock comes into play, and it essentially counts as a cast to kill win to your opponent.
Okay, and how much time do you get on your death clock for a standard game?
It's 60 minutes for a 50-point game.
So theoretically, a game could take 2 hours?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. But in reality, it probably takes less.
There are the two victory conditions in Hordes War Machine, which is going for the control points, so it's the 1st to 5 generally, or the binary condition of cast to kill.
Okay.
But if you, so I suppose the question is, how do you or can you apply that to other game systems?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose one of the things that makes it easier in Hordes is that it's a you go, I go.
Sorry?
It's you go, I go.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it for Malifaux, haven't we?
Yes, we may have even talked about it on the show. I can't remember whether it was this show or the other
probably,
show.
Probably, I think we have talked about it, but not sort of discussed it at length as such. But the big problem is the whole duel mechanic. Where,
well, you see, I'm not convinced that that is the problem with playing it in a game like Malifaux. I think it's the fact that there is no defined player one turn. I think that's what makes it more complicated. I think you could work around for Malifaux, you could work around the duel mechanic. And you basically would work on the assumption that if you were saying doing time to, say you were doing a death clock type thing,
mm-hmm.
You would work on the assumption that I'm making my duel, you know, I'm doing my duels in my turn, time in my turn, and my opponent has to decide whether to cheat. So, but I'm going to be doing the same in his turn, and it would, you know, you work on the assumption that it will cancel out.
I tend to agree with you. I think at the end of the day, you've got to take the attitude that it is you are doing stuff in your time, and that may include flips where your opponent has to participate in.
Yeah, or your opponent has to decide to cheat, or
yeah. Or do so, and that is a given. So essentially the time, you know, the turn is your time and activation for that model and anything associated with it. Yeah. And the only time the clock would get paused is essentially for a rules query where you have to get a TO over or a judge over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, as you said, you know, it's an accepted thing that it's done. You know, there is interaction from your opponent during your time on the clock.
Yeah, I think the thing that makes it harder is the fact that it's woven activations.
Yep.
That a game turn is made up of I'll move a model, you move a model, I'll move a model, you move a model. It makes a lot more clock switching.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that possibly could lead. I mean, it certainly prevents a timed turns type model.
Well, you have quick activations, and you have slow activations. I think where you know there's a lot going on. It's potentially dependent on you know what you're trying to achieve with that particular model, or the number of APs even. You know, so there will always be both situations during a game. I don't think time turns can work in Malifaux. I think it would have to be a death clock. And it'd be interesting to see if anyone ever tried this to see what effect that had on, you know, game times, round times, et cetera, et cetera. Because the game is quite involved. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of abilities and attack and actions that you can do on specific models.
Yeah. I mean, I also wondered. I mean, I wonder what effect it would have on crew choices.
Yes, because that inherently affects Death Clock and Time Turns in Halt and War Machine as well, I feel. But there is this whole element of practicing and learning your own models, learning your cards as well.
I definitely agree with that. But if you think of, say, a summoner crew.
A
summoning crew will generally, its numbers will go up as the game progresses.
Yep.
But that's when you're starting to run out of time.
So the balance there is achieving the victory conditions of the particular strat and schemes involved and ending the game as quickly as you can. But you're going to have to learn to play quickly, potentially. But you have the same issues without a clock. The round length is X number of hours, minutes, and you've got to try and fit in your five turns.
But you don't necessarily, do you? Because if you're a summoning crew playing against an elite crew, for example, the elite crew may only have three or four models.
Yes.
And so your opponent's use of time is much less than your use of time.
Yep.
The overall game length is still the same, but you may have taken, you know, two-thirds of the time to do your activations. Just because, you know, you're bringing on extra models and all of those sorts of things.
The answer to the previous time turn question is that the player whose turn it is can choose to stop the clock while the opponent's actions are being resolved. So he can stop the clock if your opponent has to do counter-charges.
If he's thinking and stuff.
Or can't find his dice or whatever. But then the other question for me is, in Halt of War Machine, it's quite, you know, it's a binary victory condition, essentially. What do you do in Malifaux or in other game systems? Because it will be the same sort of question, you know. What happens at the end of the turn? I think the easiest thing to do is you stop and whatever the victory points conditions are for each player at that point is the end result of the game. It's the only thing I can think of that you would be able to do.
I think that you'd have to be very careful on that. If you were to do, I mean, if let's take Malifaux as an example. And I want to talk about some other games that we play that, you know, whether it would work or not. But I mean, if you take
Malifaux, I suspect Epic might come up in this.
Or it probably will. If you take Malifaux as an example, okay, there are certain crews that can grab a whole, or certain strats and schemes that grab a whole load of victory points
very
early on.
Yeah, and quickly.
So I do plant explosives in turn one.
Yep.
Okay. I've got my 3 points, so I end turn one winning 3-0.
No, I can absolutely see that.
Okay, I then start turn two, and my first model activation, I then go, right, I'm going to have to sit down now, and I just let my clock run out.
Well, you then have...
I've won 3-0.
Yeah, but you then have parts of the rules that say that if you are essentially time-wasting, then you can report that to an EO or a TO, because that's in Steamroller as well.
See, I would have, if you time out, you lose.
Well, okay, that's fair enough as well.
I mean, well, because you can separate the tournament conditions, i.e. the breakers, which is effectively what in Malifaux is what VPs and a differential are.
Mm-hmm.
From the win loss. So if you time out, then you take the loss.
What would you get?
0 points.
All right, so it'd be 2-0, would it?
Well, no, but the differential, the VPs would be as they actually are at the end of the game. So you may technically win on the table.
Or you could lose on the table.
Well, if you lose on the table, then you lose anyway. But you could technically win on the table, but if you timed out, it would be recorded in your tournament log as a loss. And so you would get 0 tournament points for it because you timed out.
But as a, if you'd lost on VPs on the table, you'd win on TPs on that in that game.
If you weren't the one that timed out, yes.
Yes. Okay. So it can work for and against you.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's a difficult one. I mean, in other games, I think something like Warhammer, it would work.
I don't think I've ever not finished a Warhammer game.
I don't think I ever have either. But I don't know, maybe, you know, if you want... There were definitely in the oldie days that were people who were slow, shall we say.
Mm.
I think it would help with that. I think Relic Knights would be very interesting.
Yeah, I can see that being a time turn game at some point.
I could easily see not a time, you know, a death clock.
Yes, sorry, yeah.
Because obviously there are no turns in Relic. Yep. But a definite death clock type thing, because there is very little interaction other than, you know, there's if you do an action to an opposing model and then they have to, you know, do the relevant card stuff, that's fine. But, it comes back to the same point as in Malifaux. You know, it's equal. It's sort of eeksy-peeksy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You when someone's doing something to one of your models, you're also doing it. I think there would have probably been conventions, but I could see that happening. Epic could definitely benefit from it.
Yep. But then again, what would you do for the? Would you say it's a loss to the person who clocked out? Essentially,
I don't know how you would. Probably you would say it was a loss.
Yeah. TP wise, but yeah, then you do the same thing.
You time out, then you time out, then you lose. And I don't know whether it will make you a faster player or whether I don't know enough about Epic to whether it would dictate what you would take. I mean, what's the slowest thing in Epic? Probably assaults.
Yeah.
There's a lot of results figuring out.
Especially if you've got drawn in stuff as well.
Yeah. So there can be a lot of result. There can be a lot of results figuring out, and maybe you would just have to have a convention that the clocks when you're calculating the results of an action, the clock stops, because there's quite a lot, and it's certainly in Epic there's quite a lot of maths that you have to do with regards to an assault and how many stands were killed and this unit was pulled in and there's the firefight and all of that sort of stuff. So maybe you would have a clock that, you know, you would have a mutual clock stop whilst you calculated the result.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't know until you really tried it. I think we should really try it for Malifaux, though. I think we should try, just to see what happens.
The other thing that is a bit of a downer is the fact that these things aren't expensive. These things are expensive. You know, a proper chess clock is about 20, 25 quid. You know, from China, eBay, or whatever you want to call. Apps are obviously very free. But you then have the issue that of battery and everyone having access to them. But something like that is it takes time to essentially get a stockpile of that stuff in. Now there's enough clocks in the UK, for instance, to hold a horse war machine anywhere, and you can pull resource from various people or borrow clocks from the press ganger community out there, sort of thing, you know. So it's not something that is insurmountable. It's something that just takes time to develop and overcome, essentially. But it was one of the big things, you know. Proper chess clocks are really, really expensive, but you can get by with other stuff, and the price has dropped on these digital ones as well. I'd definitely like to see a trial, at least, you know, just to see what it's like, even if it's not adhered to as such. You know, we're going to play with chess clocks today, but just to see how it goes. Don't get scared by it. As I've said on a previous episode, the first time I used it was at the UK Nationals many years ago, and nobody knew that it was going to happen. So,
yeah.
And we ended up playing time turns, and it was awful. The first game was awful. The second game, you started getting used to it, and then people's attitude. It's the same old thing, you know. The whole change, managing change.
Yeah.
People get used to it, you know. And playing Hordes and War Machine without a clock is really... I had a game at the club a few months ago against one of my club mates, and we played for the whole session, you know. And we both said during the game we should have played this under a death clock. Because then you have an end point to the game.
Yeah, well, I think we should definitely try it. But speaking of clocks running out, ours has.
Oh, what a segue.
That's a good one, isn't it? Do you like that? So until we get some more time, I've been Mike.
And I have been the birthday boy.
Woohoo! You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.